The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. A car question. It's perfect for Wheels Up Wednesday, all right? We have Diana here. Hello, Diana. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. A little hungry this morning, maybe?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Well, if you're hungry when you leave Diner 62, hormonal problem. I get that checked, okay? They're very generous on their food there. But anyway, it was today in history, 1958, Chevy introduced the El Camino, okay?
I remember that.
Okay, yeah, the El Camino. And they started to sell this car truck hybrid that it calls the El Camino, inspired by the Ford Ranchero. It had already been on the market for a couple of years. So the El Camino combination sedan and pickup truck that was built on the Impala body with the same cat's eye taillight and those sweeping dramatic rear fins. And the ad said, "The most beautiful thing that ever shouldered a load, and it rides in hands like a convertible." Handles rather like a convertible, Chevy said. "And yet it hauls and hustles like the workingest thing on wheels." That was 1958, right? It's the way they would sell stuff. So I guess the question this morning, though, is what year did Chevrolet end production of the El Camino? What year was it, Diana? Is it A, 1981, B, 1983, C, 1985, D, 1987, or E, 1989? It was one of those times, one of those years in the 1980s. What do you say?
Well, this is a guess. I'm going 1983.
1983. So good a guess as any. Not this time, though. All right. So we're going to take 83 out of play. But thank you, Diana. Let me go to Greg. Hey, Greg, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you.
Great. Hey, this is the time that we're looking for, the year that the El Camino ended. Was it 1981, 85, 87, or 89?
Let's say 81.
81. No, it was later than that. But thank you, Greg. We have Tiffany, who's here next on the Diner 62 quiz. Hi, Tiffany.
Hello.
All right. It is 1985, 87, or 89. What do you say?
I will guess 1987.
1987. Good morning for you.
You're a winner!
You got it, Tiffany. Though the Ranchero was a pretty big seller, the first incarnation of the El Camino was not. Chevy discontinued it after just 2 years. Then in 1964, the company had a new version of it, this one built on the brawnier Chevelle platform. In 1968, they then had the SS engine, which made the El Camino one of the muscle cars, really, the late 1960s and 70s. In 1987, Chevy dropped the El Camino from its lineup for good. Today, the car is a cult classic, and I always wanted one of those 59s for sure. But I don't know if I could get in the car easily with those wraparound windshields they had back in the day. But I'll tell you what, Tiffany, we're going to send you over to Diner 62. Why don't you hang on? And we'll make it happen. Let me get your address, okay? All right. By the way, in the United States, a little bonus side deal to this El Camino. In the United States, the Ute-type vehicles were slower to catch on than in Australia, while Ford's Ranchero was the first car truck sold in the U.S. Not a new idea. And since the 1930s, Australian farmers had been driving what they called utes, which were short for coupe utility, all around the outback. And legend has it that a farmer's wife from rural Victoria had written a letter to Ford Australia asking the company to build a car that could carry her to church on Sunday and her husband's pigs to market on Monday. And in response, Ford engineer Lewis Brandt designed the sedan-based vehicle with, it was a nice passenger car in the front, and comfortable seats and a rough-and-tumble pickup in the back. Huge hit over in Australia. So that's really where it all started, with Australia in the outback. It's 8 o'clock, and we'll catch up on the rest of Town Hall News here in just a moment. And then, we're going to be digging into some local politics with Josephine County Commissioner Bear Chicker, too.
Hi, I'm only 59. This is Kevin Lawless for NBC 5 News, your place.
7 minutes after 8, what is gold for? What is silver for? I mean, well, yeah, sometimes they're used industrially. But, you know, when we're talking about it in a time of preparation, it is about the several thousand years history of wealth preservation. Wealth preservation. Now, this doesn't mean that, you're a little concerned about maybe natural disasters and you're going to get a ton of gold or silver. And that way, if times are really tough, then you're just going to be able to buy water with an ounce of silver or something like that. Now, maybe there would be some people that would sell it. No, those are separate preparations. Gold and silver is about long-term, a portion of the portfolio tucked away, and a protection against currency destruction and against essentially governments being hinky, which is why Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland and Grants Pass, is not particularly a big fan of the big push from the other big national gold companies. Hey, set up a gold IRA. Set up a gold IRA so that way, as the federal government, which has openly talked about wanting to just take your retirement accounts and maybe use it to help pay down the debt or back up the currency, and then they'll give you a government bond, a piece of paper, a promise in exchange for this, right? You know, they've talked about this openly for a long, long time. Long, long time. Why would you want to put something which is about preserving wealth in something that the government could grab? Yeah. So they're bigger fans over at Jay Austin of you having physical gold and silver in your possession, not necessarily in your possession or buried in your backyard, but where you have access to it, where you control it, where it's not necessarily being controlled by the world improvers, those just-in-case type situations. And hopefully you never need it for that. But if you do, boy, isn't it great to have it? Then not. Talk to Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers. At Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass, fortunereserve.com on the web. These are good people, and you need to go get a chance. I think it's better to go see them in person myself. JayAustinBrokers.com and FortuneReserve.com, the two sites.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Rule number one, if you're looking to sell a home, choose a local real estate agent. Hey, it's Lars. And why? It's
NetSuite.com/Kevin. NetSuite.com.
Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River. In South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
And by the way, 99.3 KPXG in Grants Pass is doing talk radio with my show 6 to 9 Monday through Friday too, if you didn't realize that, in the Grants Pass area too. I'm just glad that you're here one way or the other. You be listening on KMED.com, listening on Alexa, whatever the case might be, just glad you're here. And Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bearchigger is with me this morning. Herman, we normally talk on Tuesday. Gosh, I haven't talked to you for over 2 weeks now. Just wanted to check in and see how the political sage of Josephine County is doing this morning. Welcome back.
Well, they're in the home stretch run, and it sounds like everybody's offering free ice cream.
You got that impression there, too. It's like a lot of pandering. It's actually both sides of the aisle, a lot of pander going on, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, they're trying to get elected, so they're pretty desperate, and that's just how it goes in this business.
Yeah, I guess we're all socialists now, huh? Maybe that's where we are.
Well, you know, like I told you earlier, Bill, I'm baffled why the federal government seems like they're our opponent instead of our partner, you know?
It's kind of funny that way. I was reading an article, I don't know if you read Lou Rockwell at any time, lourockwell.com.
Oh. Yeah, here and there.
Yeah, every now and then. I usually go there at least once every day or two there. But they had an article by a woman named Bertine Schaefer, and it said, without the state, who would confiscate the generators? You know, they were kind of talking about how the federal government so often, when it was disaster recovery, instead of trying to help you, if you were bringing stuff in there that wasn't, that it was going into FEMA's turf, as an example, you were looked at as the enemy, you know, that kind of thing. There's a little bit of that goes on with the federal government, its relationship with we the people, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't think it's just the federal government, Bill. I think it's state and local government. Every time you turn around, I mean, just try to develop a piece of property or do something. It's just, it seems like it's a fight to get anything done.
And then you have,
it's very frustrating.
And then you have programs that come out, and you remember this being a state senator. You have the state senator, or the state rather, coming out, well, we have a problem with affordable housing, all right? Well, ultimately, Herman, why do we have a problem with affordable housing? There are a few reasons, but there is one big one that nobody seems to want to talk about in the state of Oregon.
Well, a lot of it is land use, but it's not just land use. It's just expensive. They've made it so expensive, you know? I was just doing some reading, quite a bit of reading, actually, on farm income here in the United States. And, you know, most people don't realize farm income is way, way down. This is as bad as back in 2008. And this is kind of scary because most people don't realize during the Great Depression back in the 30s, what made it much worse, so commodity prices went to nothing and the farmers went broke, mm-hmm. and they're all heavily mortgaged and everything. Now, I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm saying you need to keep your eye on it. And one of the reasons, Bill, that our farmers are having such a hard time is the cost of doing business. How do our farmers compete with countries in Africa that are coming online as agriculture producers, which is when they're paying $15 a day for labor and we're paying more than that per hour?
Yeah, it it doesn't make farming pencil for many people these days, Herman.
No, the transportation costs that we have, and we have the greatest, most productive farmers in the world. This is ought to be frightening. The most productive farmers in the world, and they can't make any money. Hmm. Think of, let that soak in a little bit. Oh, I think I stole that line from Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Well, soak in for sure. You know, it's interesting, though. I wonder if to increase food security. And I know what I might be saying would make people really upset. So if you think I'm full of it, just let me know, okay? But I keep a pile of old Oregonians and old Medford Mail Tribunes, and I think there's even a couple of old Grants Pass Daily Couriers. There's a box of them from the 1960s underneath my desk here at the radio station. And every now and then, Herman, I go through them. And I like to look through them, almost to look at the ads, not just the news that was going on, but what people were paying in their normal daily existence, how things were going. And the one thing I noticed is that housing was a much, much lower percentage of people's income or expenses. Your house was very inexpensive by comparison to today as far as a percentage of your income, because now they talk about, well, your rent or your mortgage is, what, 40 up to 50% of your income in some cases. That's the way it is. Wasn't that way back in the 1960s when I would look at the prices and I would look at the jobs and everything else? But your food was a little more expensive. Food was a higher percentage of your nut back in those days.
Right.
Now, you were just a little kid, you know, back at that time in the 60s. I was a very little kid, you know, in those days. And I wonder if that is part of the hollowing out of American agriculture, in which we have decided that, okay, we're going to be the biggest farmers. We're going to be the farmer to the world, but we've turned it into a commodity as such. And so you're competing with it as a commodity rather than a trade or a calling or a business, so to speak. If there might be a role to play there. Not that I'm advocating higher food prices, all right, but I'm just wondering if maybe we were a little more stable back in those days and farmers were able to make it a little bit better. Maybe they were, maybe they're not. Maybe I'm just imagining, you know?
It's just simple competition. I mean, you know, somebody in Australia or Brazil can grow a steer and process it and put it on a refrigerated container and ship it to the United States, mm-hmm. and compete with a United States rancher who's right here.
Well, that tells you then that the cost for the United States rancher is way out of line, isn't it?
Yeah, the cost of doing business is way out of line. And the politicians have made it that way with all these regulations. Let's switch back to affordable housing.
Okay.
You've got all of these super safe things you got to do. Now, you know, with the new legislation for building in the WUI, you got to fire harden and all this. Those just increase the cost so much.
But nothing's ever talked about increasing the cost or if something is affordable. It's just that you shall do it based on safety or for whatever reason.
You get a bunch of legislators who don't know one end of a hammer from another, who get heavily lobbied by companies that produce all of this stuff and are convinced that it's a good idea, and then they pass the bill. That's how it works.
So we are fighting the state. In ways, all we regular folks out there in the world are the enemy of the regulatory state. Everywhere. State, local, federal. Each level.
You know, we just had an example of a farmer out in on the Applegate who the blackberries have encroached their hay fields over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went out there and they mowed all the blackberries down. And our planning department sent him a letter saying you're in a code violation.
What?
Because you're mowing blackberries down within so many feet of a riparian area, which used to be an alfalfa field. So it doesn't make, you know, and so now that individual has to go through all the ropes, and I don't know, I think they'll probably appeal it to the county commissioners, but look at the hassle and headache these landowners have endured just for mowing blackberries and trying to reclaim their alfalfa field.
So whose field is it, though?
It's their field.
And where did this term of everybody having to, that the state owns your land if it's by the riparian area, where did that come from?
Right.
Was that a Senate Bill 100 thing or some other regulation passed?
This is a county ordinance that was passed, I don't know, 15 years ago. And so now we're dealing with that. But that's just a good example where no matter what you do, oh, you're in the floodway. Oh, you're this. You're in the riparian area. Oh, you can't touch this. No, you got to keep your cows out of that. Oh, you got that increases the cost of doing business. And these other competitors around the world don't experience any of that.
So they don't have a hemorrhage if you're mowing your blackberries down by the river, right?
Yeah. And blackberries are an invasive species. They're not even native to Oregon.
I would have thought that the county would have forgiven them because they were mowing down an invasive species. Because you're right. They're incredible. I mean, I love blackberries. Don't get me wrong. But, boy, you don't want them on your property, right?
Well, and they're highly flammable in fire season. They're a heck of a fire hazard.
Oh, yeah. It's just gasoline when they dry out. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's it.
And so now we're harassing. You know, government is harassing people for doing the right thing. They're just, their alfalfa field used to be there. They just were negligent in letting the blackberries overtake it. So they decided to push it back where they, you know, get it off out of the field.
You know,
and, oh, no, we're going to send you a demand letter and we're going to fine you so much a day and blah, blah.
All right. Is this something that you think that the property owner is going to have to go up before the quasi judicial side of the county commission to talk about?
I hope that, because it's really stupid and we probably ought to repeal that ordinance. I mean, I know I can't reinvent the wheel, but I can do a little thing, you know, little things. But it's crazy just trying to do anything.
Well, you only got a couple of months left in office, so you better do it quick then, Herman, okay?
Yeah, nothing happens quick in politics.
Hey, let me ask you, what are you thinking about the overall race for the various commissions and such? I know that you had last week there was a candidates forum in Southern Oregon, mm-hmm. over in Joe County. How'd that go?
Went pretty good. They started with the city council and did the treasurer and then, of course, the commissioners. And it was kind of interesting. You know, the Democrats, they don't endorse, they say, but they recommend who to vote for.
Well, you have to understand, the reason why they don't endorse, they recommend, is that Democrats have daddy issues. They don't want anybody that looks like they're in charge. That's all.
Yeah, but the dirty, rotten Republicans endorse. And that's
they're daddy. Thing. Yeah, they're the daddies. That's why they don't like Republicans.
Yeah, okay. And anyway, so you basically have two commissioners that are endorsed by the Republicans and two candidates that are endorsed
by
the
Republicans. Yeah, that'd be Ron Smith and of course...
Chris Barnett.
Chris Barnett, pardon me. Yeah.
Right. And then you have two candidates that are recommended, I guess, by the Democrats, and that's Pat Fahey and Colleen Martin. And everybody's supposed to be a Republican except Pat Fahey, who switched to an independent. But anyway, so they all kind of sounded the same at a Republican forum there, pretty similar, but because they're speaking to that base, okay?
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Chris Barnett and his lawsuit against the Grants Pass Tribune? What do you think about that? Libel lawsuit. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, Well, you know, you can step over the bounds. Chris Barnett is, you know, if you can't just say anything. If it's an outright lie, you can be held liable for it, and that's what it sounds like what it's going on. So I guess the proof will be in the pudding. We'll see.
Yeah, I was kind of curious. I think I'll have him on to ask him about it, in a day or two. I'm just kind of curious if in some ways it brings more attention to it. What do you think about that as far as politically?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know all the details or anything. So, and I don't know what the strategy behind it is. I know that as far as I'm concerned, my opinion of the Grants Pass Tribune is it's not very legitimate. Okay. So somebody went and bought some software, and then the next day they went on and said they're a news organization.
Well, so. I don't know. What is a news organization these days, though? I mean, not that I wish to give legitimacy to the Grants Pass Tribune. I'm not trying to do this. But, you know, it used to be that the various media organs, as far as the ones who describe themselves as news media. Now, I'm an opinion guy, all right? So I'm not pretending to be necessarily fair. I will be fair to people when I talk to them, but I have a strong point of view. I make no bones about it, okay? And I say this right from the beginning. You know, it used to be, though, that news organizations, whether it was television, radio, newspaper, whatever it is, I think they had more respect because they at least seemed to go through the motions of trying to be. So no one's doing that now. So
No. What
is a news? What is a news organization? Everybody has a bias, just even given the position of the point of view that they tell the story, Herman, don't they? I mean, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like last night with my son was over. We were having a discussion. And I said, well, look it up on Wikipedia, whatever that's worth.
Well, yeah.
If it sounds good, it must be true. If it sounds bad, maybe it's not. I don't even know anymore, Bill.
Okay. Yeah, and so that's why I don't want to necessarily smack around John Oliver, whatever his name is, over on Grants Pass, on that website, because there are other people that also do really good journalism that happen to have a website that aren't necessarily technically a news source, but yet they're still doing the job. So I just want to be careful where I go.
Yeah, but he's a news source, and anyways. But, you know, look what they're doing with the presidential election. So the Democrats, Biden is on the ballot in the primary.
Yep.
He wins. All of a sudden, they just kick him to the curb. He's gone.
No votes.
Kamala's in.
No votes.
And no voting.
Yep.
No nothing. So much for democracy. Remember, they're always screaming about democracy. And then they're just hoping that the news media gets them across the finish line. This is obvious as a tail on a goat.
And it's true, and they have been trying to help carry them to an extent. But I've noticed some people changing. And I know it's not Conspiracy Theory Thursday yet, Herman, but let me slide this one by you, okay? You've been watching a lot of races for a long, long time. I would argue that President Trump's momentum is certainly growing. The momentum is in his favor. People are looking for a change, even if they're not necessarily a big fan of President Trump. So I think the momentum's in his favor. But I'm thinking, now, you might think I'm crazy. The entire Southern Oregon might think I'm crazy. I honestly have a sneaking suspicion that the reason all of a sudden Trump's momentum seems to be moving, and we see people attacking Kamala Harris from the left even now, is that the system knows that it wants war, and they want the war to be dealt with by a Republican administration rather than the Democrats. The Democrats don't want to be part of a big recession or an economic problem and possible war. They would rather that be thrown in Trump's lap. What do you think?
I think there's some merit to your observations, and have the question that needs to be answered. Has the Democrats in the big picture already looking at 4 years down the road?
That's what I'm wondering. And they realize that this would be a bad, Kamala would be a bad horse to ride over the next 4 years for them.
That could be. But back to local politics, back to the forum.
All right.
I it's interesting. So one of the questions was to the commissioners, do you support mandated vaccines and mandated masks.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Okay.
And they all said no. So after...
Wait a minute. All those candidates, even the Democratic-leaning ones, said no?
Yeah.
Really?
All four of them said no.
Oh, okay.
They also said no to sanctuary counties, all four of them.
Wow.
Yeah, they also said no to raising taxes. So, and they all, four of them also said no to repealing Measure 5 and Measure 50, which hinders the ability to raise property tax.
Okay.
So, they sounded pretty similar. So, after I confronted Pat Fahey and I said, you obviously have changed your position because I watched you all through COVID stand at that podium and chastise the commissioners for not making everybody get vaccinated and wear masks.
Well, I remember you and I talking about those conversations in the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he got very agitated, and his response was, I have you on film supporting Greater Idaho. That was his answer to my question.
And what does that have to do with what does that have to do with COVID? COVID, yeah, and math, well, and mask mandates.
For the tally book, I voted to put the question on the ballot, but I've always said it's a very high bar and it's very unlikely is the reality. And he got very agitated at me, and then almost, I wouldn't say screaming, but extremely loud, and then stomped out through the front door.
Well, I imagine there are some people running for office that are just hoping we don't remember what happened a few years ago. Just forget it. We weren't those droids you're looking for. We're not looking for those droids now. There are different droids we're looking at now.
Well, I'm sure he had to go home, and his wife probably asked him, why did you say no on that? So there's other judgments besides the public.
Indeed. Al Herman, always a pleasure talking to you and catching up. We'll go back to our normal time on Tuesday for sure. And what do you think we ought to be watching for locally that's coming up? Is there anything that's brewing? Or is it like even in the Congress right now, nothing big happens in the final few weeks before election?
Well, I think as far as the elections, they're going to have a, I think the Daily Courier and the Chamber's putting it on. It'll be interesting to see what the questions are that they ask and how they run that forum and the answers from because that'll be a different audience that you're speaking to, you know?
Sure.
So it'll be quite interesting. You know, I'm getting to the part of my life where, you know, I understand all of the idiosyncrasies of this process. So I can just sit back and look and shake my head and say, oh, boy, you guys.
Yeah, there's a part of me that just wants to get it all over with. I wish today were the election day. You know, just.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, Bill, I had it pretty easy in my political career. I just stuck to my guns, and anybody that knows me in that space, you know, will say, you might not agree with Herman, but you know where he is. And I've always stayed there. I've always voted very conservative. And I would say I just didn't have a tendency to flip-flop. I just was who I am, and that's how I am today. You know, you may not agree with me, but that's probably where I'm going to stay, unless there's some significant change of circumstances. But I believe that government, it's not a income problem, it's a spending problem.
And speaking of which, let me ask your opinion on this. Do you think that all of these city councilors, county commission candidates, do they realize, as you and I have talked about for several years now, that the free money is running out and running out very quickly, and that it's a different game in 2025 beyond?
I don't think they understand that. I'm not sure how many of them even have read the county charter in its entirety. I know they don't understand the process. Going into next year here in Josephine County, you're going to have three commissioners, no matter how it washes out, that have very limited experience in government. So it's the proprieties, you know, it's the parliamentarian, it's the rules that you have ethics rules and all those things. So you're going to have three people that don't have, and there's nobody to help them through that process. You know what I mean, Bill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot to that, because if you don't do it right, then you get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And getting it wrong is not very pretty.
All right. Do you think, though, that they understand that it's really probably more about shrinking than expanding?
I think most of them do, but they think they have the solutions, I look at Colleen Martin, better days ahead is their campaign slogan. Well, what does that mean?
It's the vibes. Remember, Everything's about the vibes.
Yeah, I mean, better days ahead because government's shrinking and you're going to provide less services to the people. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. But I will tell you, Bill, we are running out of everybody's money. Did you see the article on Boeing?
Yeah.
2 months of strike, but look what they are asking for. Oh, my God, almost double their pay? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
By the way,
Standard & Poor's is getting ready to, is considering re-rating Boeing's debt as junk. Who would have ever thought you and I would be talking about in the United States of America, Boeing being rated as a junk bond?
Oh, I mean, what was the slogan forever? If it isn't Boeing, I'm not going.
Yeah.
So, now you probably aren't going to be going because they're not going to produce any airplanes. So this is craziness. But unless you pay attention worldwide, what's going on worldwide and everything, you have nothing to compare with if you just sit here in the United States in your bubble.
Yeah. Well,
I'm telling you, there's countries all over this world that are coming on strong. And it's for us to remain an economic powerhouse may be a struggle in the future.
Yeah. DEI is not going to help as much in that respect, okay?
And did you see DEI with Oregon Department of Forestry?
Yes, I saw that. Oh, my gosh.
And I know the individual they let go, and that individual is as solid and as knowledgeable as you could possibly get for that number two spot. And for them to cast right in the middle of fire season, are you kidding me?
Yeah, we got to talk.
We lost our mind?
Let's catch up on that story and dig in a little deeper Tuesday, okay? Let's do that,
all right, Bill.
Yeah, and by the way, when we were talking about how it's a crazy time, the Dutch government has told the EU they want out of their migration pact, this idea of open borders. They're done. So maybe there's hope.
Oh, Sweden's already done that. They said, what is it, $30,000 if you go back home?
Yeah. I wouldn't pay them $30,000. I just make them go back home, I think, at this point.
We
don't need rape our women equity. That's not what this is about. They've had some real problems in some of those areas. All right, Herman, we'll talk Tuesday. Be well, okay?
All right. Take care.
Josephine County Commissioner Bearchigger, 8:38. This is KMED.
Saudis drop the petrol, times are changing fast. Russia, China, BRICS.
Charity right here in Medford. Trade in and take off at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED. And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
I'm delighted that you are here. It's 8:42. This portion of the program is sponsored in part by Valley View Nursery, the only nursery here in Southern Oregon with online pricing. Go to valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think. You can find out all about that. Charisse is here now on Open for Business with No Wires. No Wires, of course, at 1560 Biddle Road, Suite B in Medford, or there by People's Bank in the Cigar Cave, not too far away from that. How you doing this morning, Charisse? Welcome back.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, everyone. I'm doing great.
All right. Glad to hear this. Now, I wanted to make sure that people know about you. What is your text message anytime you need to save money on whether it's the telephone, whether it is satellite television, whether it's cable, whatever it is that you're looking for, internet, you handle this over at No Wires, right?
Yes. It's really, really simple. All you have to do is give me a call or text me or come into my showroom. I'm there 10 to 4, Monday through Friday, And I'm going to try to help you save money and help you lower your bills.
All right. And that's what, and you do a great job of it. Of all my sponsors, you are probably in the top two or so of the people saying, what is her number again? And where is the business?
Come on. And I'm the top. I'm the number one.
Yeah. Well, I'm being politic, okay?
Yeah.
No, but I'm talking about people, the ones that people call me about and ask you.
Right.
And ask for your contact.
Right.
But you just send your bill to Charisse. Call or text message her, 541-680-5875, and become a client of hers, and she'll help you save money, et cetera, and all sorts of good stuff. But what I wanted to make sure that people know about what's happening tomorrow is that you have kind of a grand – it's not a grand opening, or is it a grand reopening, or what are you having? What are you celebrating tomorrow? It's tomorrow here in town.
So I'm celebrating my customers, and I'm hosting the Chambers tomorrow morning from like 8 to 9:30. And I'll have coffee, cider, you know, yummy pastries. And, you know, you can come on down to the store. If you do not have a copy of your bill, I will help you get one.
Okay.
And I'm going to have door prizes. And if you're a business, like My Favorite Property Management, and you want me to help you lower your bill, your internet bills, you know, I can help you with that also. So not just residential, I can also help business.
Okay, so it's so I didn't understand that too, or didn't realize that too. It's good to know. Now, you work all sorts of different internet angles. Now, does your hubby still install the Elon Musk ones, the Starlink at this point, or the you do that too if you need that. Okay.
Oh yeah, we probably do like one or two a week, you know. And you know, like somebody can't do it themselves, they need help and guidance. I had a guy come in the other day, and he heard me on the radio, and he just needed help activating it. So I helped him activate it. He brought the Starlink. We put it on top of his truck and got it going, and away he went.
Yeah.
He was so happy.
Now, that's a little more expensive, considerably more expensive internet than some. But I'll tell you, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, sometimes that's your only choice, isn't it?
Yeah, he was taking it to go hunting. And, and that's a great idea. I mean, you can call out, you can stream, you can watch, you know, as long as you have power.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. You know something, Charisse? There's a part of me, though, that if I want to go camping or hunting, my whole point is to get away from that. God bless you. But, you know, you know, to not have the phone binging and bonging all the time. But I guess they're all different strokes, right? You know,
yeah,
kind of
everybody's
thing.
Different. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, man, I got to have, after I shoot my buck or get my buck, I got to have Netflix. You know, I'll pass, okay?
I know. I saw this hunter actually wearing the Starlink like a backpack.
Yeah.
And I was starting to realize, like, how healthy is that really? Having this huge, like, all of a sudden you're losing your hair.
Now, that's a conversation for another time. But if you want to save money on it, though, or you need it installed, she'll help you do it and feed your addiction, okay? Now, this is, once again, No Wires Now, 1560 Biddle Road, Suite B, Medford. And the number to get Charisse on your side, 541-680-5875. Now, tomorrow, what time is the grand opening event? This is with the Chambers involved with you and everything else. When's it all start?
So I'll be open for everyone from 10 to 4 tomorrow. And just come in and say hi, you know, tell me, you know, your situation. I'll make you a little appointment for free, and I'll, you know, give you some advice and tell you what I can do for you. And save you some money, give you way better service. You know, you don't have to call 1-800 number ever again, which is nice.
And do you still have a big steal going on with Dish and or DirecTV here, some big event? What can you do?
I have the DirecTV stream. I got the Dish Hopper. Oh, we have the new Hopper 4. Oh, my gosh. So the new Hopper 4, they finally got it right.
You
got
to get me one of those. You got to get me one.
Yes. You can have every single app now, every single app, any app you want. You can have it on Dish now. It's so awesome. Before, it was just Netflix, Prime, and YouTube. Now it's everything.
All right. You got it.
I'm going to get that for you.
Hook the brother up here, okay? I'll talk with you about that later.
Will.
All right. All right. Hey, Charisse, I hope you have a great time tomorrow from 10 till 4. Big grand opening there. Of course, Charisse with No Wires Now, nowiresnow.com, 1560 Biddle Road, Suite B, Medford. Call or text message and start saving. See what she can do for you. 541-680-5875. You take care, all right?
Thanks, Bill.
Good luck. Have a great time. I mean, I know you'll have a great time. It's 847.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles
is Southern Oregon's largest Cal Spas dealer at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway.
10 before 9, some open phone time at 770-5633. By the way, I accidentally hung up on Todd and Cliff. I don't know if maybe this is them or not. Hi, good morning. Is this Todd or Cliff?
Hey. Yeah, it's Cliff.
Okay, Cliff. Blackberries, go ahead.
Okay. According to the Oregon Department of Agriculture, Himalayan blackberries are considered an Oregon noxious weed. And I believe that that farmer can use that as a defense against that citation he received from whoever over there in Joe County.
All right. We will pass that along, and hopefully they're listening to that, too. Okay. Thank you.
Well, I hope so, too.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let me hit the next line here on the open phone time. Who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. It's Todd. And talking about blackberries, it reminds me, I was talking to a friend of mine who lives up in Shady Cove on the Rogue River. He's within 75 feet of the water. He's not allowed to trim any of the blackberries or any of the other noxious, horrible stuff whatsoever. You have to get a group that's been certified by the federal government to come in.
Why?
And trim back this garbage.
Why?
Because you might be hurting the repair. Obviously, you don't care about the environment. We need to bring in these highly paid people to protect the riparian environment, and you can't be trusted to cut out blackberries. So my friend just shakes his head. It's like, you know, I'm paying, you know, 50, you know, bucks an hour for, you know, some guy to come in here and trim garbage weeds. But this was a federal thing. It wasn't a county thing.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm thinking that, you know, you almost want to see, it's almost at this point where you just want to accidentally just kick over a gallon of crossbow on the property sometime. Oh, I'm so sorry. The crossbow spilled all over the blackberries. What am I going to do with that?
Well, no, the best days are national holidays to do all this sort of work.
Oh, that's right. Working. When they're on vacation. Good point. Good point, Todd. Thanks for that. Let me go to Holly Morton. Hello, Holly. Joe County Republican Party Chair. We got a big event going on Saturday, don't we?
Yeah, Saturday's going to be a wild day, and we're looking so forward to you speaking at noon on at the headquarters at 513 6th Street, right across from the courthouse. Yeah, it's going to be a great day. We're going to have all kinds of Trump stuff on sale. We want to get that on people's hats and T-shirts on their bodies.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, you got to sell it now. Who knows what happens in the future, right? You know, you don't want to have a Trump clear out or close out sale, right?
It's true, but it's going to become collector's items. Any way you look at it, all this stuff is going to be collector's items. You know, years and years from now, people will be selling it for the big bucks. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're excited about it.
So it's 12 noon, and then you got the Trump train running out at about 2 or so, right?
O'clock, the Trump train goes out, so we'll be decorating the vehicles and that kind of thing, and it'll be lively over there. Saturdays are pretty busy. There'll be a lot of the candidates will be there to meet individuals. We'll have a lot of flyers and brochures so people can know who the vetted candidate.
Will there be some candidate talks too, you know, prior to it? Yeah, I mean, sure, I'll go out there and say rah rah rah, just get off your butt and vote. You know, is the main message right now.
All of that, you know. Yeah, candidates will be there. They'll speak probably after you, I would think, but they will be there just so people can introduce themselves, ask the kind of questions they might have, and I think it'll be a great event.
All right, looking forward to seeing you Saturday for sure. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Saturday, Josephine County, 12 noon, right out in front of the courthouse, across the street from the courthouse. You know, that's where we're all going to be, at least in Joe County. Hey, Matt, how are you? What's going on?
Hey, Bill. Great interview with Gordon Stang. That's one of those interviews that could have gone an hour.
Oh, I know. And I had like, you have like 13 minutes with Gordon is what I'm told. It's like, man, it's like I'd like about a whole hour with him to talk China for sure.
Yeah, I you know, most of your listeners are pretty up on all this stuff with China. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I remember when Bush was president, there was a constant conversation about China manipulating their currency. They wanted their currency weak against the dollar to make manufacturing cheap. So one of the things they did was, first of all, they pay slave wages. That's one. Mm-hmm. Two, they have no environmental policies. Herman was great on that this morning, talking about the environmental policies that we have to follow here that aren't followed anywhere else in the world, maybe Europe. So they've done all these things over the years. This is just blind ambition from our politicians and from business. I keep wondering, and this is decades, I keep wondering at what point is enough enough? Does Amazon need more money from China? Do any of the other corporations that sell into China, I'll include Elon Musk in that, how much do they really need? At what point do they stop and say, look, I'm going to take one for the team. This isn't good for business. They're obviously stealing everybody's intellectual property. You can't do business there unless you're willing to, you know, sell out some of your information so that they can steal it. But I like the Gordon kind of, he brought up this one point here. They lie about everything. He said their growth rate is probably zero, even though they're saying it's something else.
Which to me makes it even more dangerous at time, really.
It really does. You made a great point. Does it make them more frantic and aggressive if they can see that, you know, we might be out of money to be able to go in and take Taiwan and maybe some of these other small islands in the Pacific? Might we're trying to see if it might might we need to do this now? And it's possible. But I guess the frustration for me is, like, you know, I look at a lot of stocks and I'll come across these stocks. And I think I brought this up on the air before. I'll see a stock for $3 or $4. And the technical information looks great in regards to how it's moving on a price chart. Then when I look under the hood, the fundamentals tell me that stock should be $30 or $40 a share. Why is it so cheap? Why don't we hold them to the same filing standards that we hold American companies to? It's like the entire political force has completely sold out our country in absolutely every respect.
And many of our own elected officials did here, which is why I even started off that interview with Gordon. Is that, were we being had even then when our elected officials were all going on the junkets? Because I was concerned and I brought it up back then. As to, oh, no, it's different now. No, it's never different when you're dealing with communists. Okay?
Look at Walls.
Yeah.
He kept taking those youth groups over there.
Oh, I know. I know.
If I'm not mistaken, I think there's someone in the Republican Party in the state of Oregon who's done the same thing. Like, why do people continue to do this? They're obviously just taking the money. And I just can't imagine the short-sightedness in someone's brain. It's like, look, I know it's a huge market. I know there are plenty of consumers there who are interested in buying American products. But at what point do you say, look, Gordon said it. We must decouple from China. We have to.
And you know darn well, and he's also right, though, that decoupling from China will be very painful, too. And we must be truthful with ourselves about it. But pain, I think, is something that we're going to have to endure if we're going to save the country at this point.
What's the alternative?
No, there is no alternative. But do you hear anybody really talking about decoupling other than him? You know, and so this will be a big conversation to have. Hey, I got 10 seconds before I turn into a pumpkin, but I will talk to you and everybody else on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, okay? We'll have some open time for that for sure. 8:58 and change.
Imagine a Jackson County.